out in the world and the noise and the hubbub and the freedom that he had sought, that he had rightly sought. It was difficult at times to hear the shofar, to hear God's signals. And when he's with thousands of people, it is at times difficult to feel metaphysically the interconnection of human souls. Welcome to A Journey Through the Siddur, Episode 21, The Shofar Postcard and the Shofar Prayer. I am Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's Journey Through the Siddur series is sponsored by Sherry and Neil Cohen in memory of their parents, Beatrice and Paul Milberg, and Harriet and Norman H. Cohen.
During the High Holy Day period of 2020, I came upon a lovely news story about the sounding of the shofar during the pandemic period. The Jerusalem Post announced in a headline, quote, "This Rosh Hashanah, two countries will gather to hear one shofar at once," end quote. Apparently, and I did not know this, the island of St. Martin's actually encompasses two different countries. It is French territory in the north and Dutch in the south. As the Post reports, quote, "The division, a hangover from the colonial era, was formalized in the Partition Treaty of 1648, otherwise known as the Treaty of Concordia, but has been an amicable agreement with citizens of both territories moving freely around the island," end quote. However, all this changed after the pandemic, with the border becoming shut between the two different sides of St. Martin's, the two different national territories making up St. Martin's. As the local rabbi Moshe Chanowitz put it, quote, "It created real chaos," and he added, "People live on one side and do business on the other, while others go to school on one end, away from their homes, on the other end. It's really one country, and no one ever looked at the border as anything other than a symbolic marker. The only difference is the electric company, really," end quote. For the rabbi, who would usually be able to go around the island blowing shofar, the shutting of the border presented a problem with the coming of Rosh Hashanah. And so, according to the article, the local rabbi announced that he would stand on Rosh Hashanah at the border, and Jews from both sides would gather to hear the shofar blasts. And this, as the newspaper explained, would be the first international shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah in history. To ponder this story is to be reminded of a blessing that is said in the Amidah every day, describing a great shofar that will be heard around the world, in many countries, a sound that will proclaim redemption, and it is the subject of the next blessing in the Amidah. Following the prayer for prosperity, a blessing is said in which Jews pray for the persecution of the Jewish people to end wherever it is ongoing on earth, and for redemption to arrive. The blessing expresses a plea that Jewish people be saved from persecution from those that hate the Jewish people, and that, in a great moment of redemption, when all persecution ends, Jews be gathered from the corners of the earth. The blessing is inspired by a prophetic verse, "V'haya bayom ahu, and it will be on that day, yitaka b'shofar gadol, a great shofar will be blown, u'ba'o ovde me'eretz Ashur, v'anidacham me'eretz Mitzrayim, and those that are lost from the land of Assyria and dispersed in the land of Egypt will come, v'yishtachavu la'Hashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim, and they will bow down to God in the holy mountain in Jerusalem." Of course, while we have not yet seen the full flowering of the eschatological era described in the Tanakh, we have already seen miraculous ingatherings which inspire our own faith in miracles, and we have seen miraculous moments of the sounding of the shofar, such as the shofar of Rabbi Goren, giving eloquent voice in 1967 to the meaning of the moment during the reunification of Jerusalem. And with this in mind, I would like to ponder how this blessing about the shofar is supposed to further impact us in the age in which we live, pondering this blessing while considering another shofar and the role it played in a prisoner's freedom. In his memoir, Natan Sharansky describes going on a hunger strike when the Soviets refused to allow him to receive letters. As he writes, quote, "Every letter that arrived for me in March or April was confiscated, as were all my letters to Moscow and Jerusalem. I wanted to write at least a few lines so that my family would know I was in the camp prison and could write only once every 2 months. But now I couldn't even do that. Could I reconcile myself to the situation after so many years of struggling to correspond with my family? Could I sit and twiddle my thumbs while Mama and Avital were eating their hearts out with anguish and agitation? Of course not." And then he adds, "After 10 days, they began to give me letters from home. One letter contained a postcard with a picture of the Kotel, the surviving western wall of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. Next to it, an old man was blowing an enormous shofar, a ram's horn. On the other side, Avital wrote, 'Tolik, darling, shalom. What shofar must I blow for you to hear me? Or should I say quietly to myself, I am with you all the time, when there are letters from you and when there aren't.'" End quote. So his wife wrote. But But since full freedom to receive correspondence and write correspondence had not been granted, Sharansky continued his hunger strike, albeit with a changed mindset. For as he wrote, quote, "The hunger strike continued, but now in my cell, I distinctly heard the triumphant sounds of the shofar," end quote. The shofar on the postcard was heard by Sharansky. It motivated him in his battle against Soviet evil. In reflecting on his insistence that he receive and write correspondence, Sharansky adds, quote, "What was I fighting for? A principle? The right to send letters home and receive replies? So my family would not be tortured by uncertainty? For all these reasons, but most of all, so that nobody could drown out the shofar signals that Avital was sending me," end quote. Thus, in the silence of the prison, he heard the shofar. In the solitude, he was bound to others and to God. Alone, separated from his people, he became bound to them as never before. And what he hears is a shofar, bringing to life a fascinating verse and prayer. As described in the Book of Kings, Elijah, seeking to turn Israel away from idolatry, performs astonishing miracles, including his bringing down fire from heaven at Mount Carmel. But paganism is still abundant, and the wicked queen Jezebel seeks his life. Elijah flees to Mount Sinai and complains to God about Israel's wickedness. God, in turn, brings forward great fire, wind, earthquake, but he did not make himself manifest in these. And then God made himself known to Elijah in a kol demama daka, usually translated as a still small voice. The meaning is that God appears often, as Ray Sachs put it, in a sound that you will only hear if you are listening for it. This phrase in the Bible, describing how God appeared in a still small voice, made its way into one of the most famous of Ashkenazic High Holy Day prayers, Unetana Tokef. Describing the Day of Judgment, the prayer utilizes the following phrases, U'bashofar gadol yitaka, a great shofar shall be blown, v'kol demama daka yishama, and the sound of a still small voice shall be heard. Here, with Sharansky, an astonishing instantiation of this High Holy Day prayer takes place. He is engaged in a Yom Kippur of his own. He is fasting. He is alone. And in this moment, he hears the shofar. He listens for it. And of course, the shofar he heard did hearken his own forthcoming freedom, Sharansky's return to his people. Interestingly, when Sharansky finally achieved all of which he had dreamt, when he left his cell for the hubbub of a vibrant free society, then, as he wrote in his memoir, he realized that some of the spiritual discoveries he achieved as a prisoner were difficult to retain. He put it this way, quote, "In the punishment cell, life was much simpler. Every day brought only one choice, good or evil, white or black, saying yes or no to the KGB. Moreover, I had all the time I needed to think about these choices, to concentrate on the most fundamental problems of existence, to test myself in fear, in hope, in belief, in love. And now, lost in thousands of mundane choices, I suddenly realize that there's no time to reflect on the bigger questions. How to enjoy the vivid colors of freedom without losing the existential depth I felt in prison? How to absorb the many sounds of freedom without allowing them to jam the stirring call of the shofar that I heard so clearly in the punishment cell? And most important, how, in all these thousands of meetings, handshakes, interviews, and speeches, to retain that unique feeling of the interconnection of human souls, which I discovered in the gulag? These are the questions I must answer in my new life, which is only beginning," end quote. What Sharansky is saying is profound. Alone in his cell, he could hear the shofar, thanks to the inspiration of his wife Avital. Out in the world, in the noise and the hubbub, and the freedom that he had sought, that he had rightly sought, it was difficult at times to hear the shofar, to hear God's signals. And, when he's with thousands of people, it is at times difficult to feel, metaphysically, the interconnection of human souls. This is a fact of life. And perhaps part of what the blessing of the shofar is meant to do is to remind us to, yes, pray for the final redemption, but also to be sensitive to the sounds of the shofar in Jewish history, sounds that we can listen for in our own lives. Menachem Begin, describing his endeavors and the Irgun's endeavors to make a stand for the right of Jews to sound the shofar at the Western Wall in the 1940s under the Mandate, reflected on what it means to listen for the voice that comes from the stones surrounding the Temple Mount. He writes about these stones, quote, "These stones are not silent. They do not cry out. They whisper. They speak softly of the house that once stood here, of kings who knelt here once in prayer, of prophets and seers who here declaim their message, of heroes who fell here dying, and of how the great flame, at once destructive and illuminating, was here kindled," end quote. This whispering Begin further describes as, quote, "The testimony of these stones sending out their light across the generations," end quote. The voice of God and the shofar of God can be heard in our lives and in the events that have occurred in our age. The blessing of the shofar inspires us to listen for these calls, as we also pray for those held so cruelly in captivity to be granted freedom by God. And as we pray, thinking about how the miraculous shofar has been known in recent decades, we ask for the sound of miracles to make themselves manifest once again. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.